Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, brought to you today by Simply Safe Home Security. To get $100 off your brand new Simply Safe home security system, visit simplysafe.com/ricochet. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. We'll get to those in just a moment. We do want to give you a little bit of a heads up, though, that next week there will be no Three Martini Lunch since Jim and I will both be out of town. Jim is actually here for the last time before the National Review cruise, which will take place later this week and virtually all of next week, and I'll be on vacation next week. So Alexandra DeSanctis will be filling in for Jim for the remainder of this week, starting tomorrow. And then next week, we will be on hiatus, but fear not, come September 11th, Jim and I will both be back, and the Three Martini Lunch will resume then. We'll be giving you a couple other reminders as the week goes on. So, Jim, as far as your farewell appearance here before the big National Review cruise, we want to once again make the story in Houston, in some ways, the good martini. Obviously, the unending, it seems like, deluge of rain continues. Things are actually, as we said yesterday, getting worse before they're going to get better. I just saw one thing on Twitter that I retweeted. You don't see this often from county officials. This is from Brazoria County, Texas, saying the levee at Columbia Lakes has been breached. This is all in red. Get out now, in all caps, bolds, exclamation points. And there's been a couple of different levees and dams that are at the point of breaking here. They're trying to release some water to avoid more calamity, but right now there's just too much water, and sometimes these things are being breached, and flash flooding is very much a threat and a reality in some of the places there. If you're using your precious battery minutes listening to the Three Martini Lunch, we appreciate that, but you really should be doing something else with those precious battery minutes. Jim, the good news down here, of course, is just what we're seeing in the heroic rescue effort. And this will be going on for days and days and possibly weeks, given the huge metro area that exists there. But right now, yesterday we were talking about 2,000 rescues. Now we're talking about more than 6,000 rescues. Mayor Sylvester Turner telling the Associated Press Tuesday that the police had rescued more than 3,000, and the Coast Guard said it had also rescued more than 3,000 by boat and air. They're getting 1,000 calls per hour at the Coast Guard. So just an amazing response. You've got volunteers doing this. It would appear, despite the devastation, that the response is about as well organized by Texas officials as you can, given these horrific circumstances. So while it's obviously bad and the numbers are probably going to get worse, they could be a whole lot worse if not for some of the heroism we're seeing right now.
That's a good way of putting it, Greg. Earlier this morning, I was, you know, going through all the coverage, and you may have seen in the last 24 hours, there was one report of a couple of looting at a couple locations. There was a widely distributed report about guys shooting at the Cajun Navy. These are the guys in Louisiana who brought all their boats, everything they used to cruise around the bayou, heading west and doing their, trying to get in there to help rescue people who are stranded in the Houston area. They said that somebody fired shots at them and attempted to steal their boats, presumably in an attempt to later on use them for looting or something like that. For what it's worth, the authorities say they don't have any reports of shots fired. I don't think necessarily calling the Cajun Navy liars, just saying they can't verify the claims for the story from the Cajun Navy guys. And at a moment like this, you're like, you know, the disaster is so terrible, so many people suffering, so many people watching the floodwaters either enter their homes or get closer and closer. I have a couple of friends who are getting evacuated. And it's easy to say, why must people be so terrible? And yeah, look, there are 6.5 million people in the Houston area. Some of them are going to do stupid things. Some of them are going to do criminal things. Some of them are going to try to take advantage of this crisis to do something selfish or malevolent or something like that. But this is really a very small portion. And all around the Houston area right now, all around Texas, you are seeing, I would argue, the very best of humanity. And you can just find example after example. Three members of the Cajun Navy apparently came across a 73-year-old woman with a medical bracelet who was basically floating in the water semi-conscious. They don't know whether she was trying to cross someplace and got swept away. pulled her out of the water, managed to resuscitate her, got her to safety. Probably many people have seen the television reporter who flagged down a sheriff's department truck and boat, which rescued a stranded truck driver from waters that were reaching about 10 feet high. Probably many people have seen that just, you know, heart-wrenching picture of senior citizens trapped in waist-deep water in a nursing home. Right. They were all rescued. They're all safe and sound and in another nursing home on higher ground in Alvin, Texas. You know, all around Facebook Live, you're just seeing ordinary citizens running into people who are in trouble and putting themselves in harm's way to help save them. So as bad as this is for the Houston area and for Texas, and it sounds like it's going to be much like the recovery from Katrina, this is going to take months, if not years, before anything gets back to quote unquote normal in this area. Maybe it's never quite the same in this area. This is, you know, they're saying a once in 100-year flood. Apparently several dams are having to let out water today, so they're not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination. But as bad as the situation is, I really do believe we are seeing the best of Texas, the best of America, and really the best in people in this crisis right now.
All right, let's move on to our bad martini now, Jim. And just when some people thought that the North Koreans had reconsidered their belligerent behavior, turns out they were just waiting for the next opportunity to display their belligerent behavior. This is from the Wall Street Journal. North Korea launched a ballistic missile over Japan Tuesday, the latest in a string of direct provocations that have destabilized the region and triggered global alarm. The missile, the first Pyongyang has fired over Japan's main island since 2009, prompted a fiery response from Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Quote, "This outrageous action of firing a missile over our country is an unprecedented, grave, and serious threat that seriously damages peace and security in the region. We have firmly protested to North Korea." Mr. Abe called for an emergency meeting of the United Nations Security Council. He said he spoke by phone with President Trump for 40 minutes and that the president gave a strong commitment to Japan's security. So, you know, Jim, they're getting dangerously close to this red line here. They didn't fire missiles at Guam, which is technically our red line right now, or anything more belligerent towards the United States. But, of course, we have made it very clear that we have strong alliances with South Korea and Japan in that region, both of which North Korea seems intent to harass as much as possible and threaten as much as possible. I'm not exactly sure where this puts us on the tension meter, but it's pretty high up there.
Yeah, the first thing that you obviously looking for logic in the decision making of North Korea is a fool's errand. But I really wonder if anybody in the high command room has said, "Sir, what do we do if we shoot a missile and attempt to shoot it over Japan, and something goes wrong and it lands in Japan? What happens if it lands on some Japanese people?" This is obviously, it's a, you know, not the, the risk of this is greater than zero when you are firing missiles over Japanese airspace, and also considering the quality we know of North Korean missile technology. At that point, North Korea has just made a military strike on Japan. And the question then is, you know, Japan would have every right to retaliate, and you may wonder if we're on the verge of another Korean War. There's this kind of philosophy of, okay, this is just them wanting attention. All we need to do is get back to the negotiating table, that basically we can pay the Daimgeld, that we can basically buy peace from North Korea just by being nice enough to them, just by meeting their demands or something like that. And that's, I don't think that's going to work here, even if we wanted to. And some would say that is a cowardly and you know, an arrangement without honor. But beyond that, I think these guys are just too, for lack of a better term, addicted to provocation, right? Things had calmed down. The United States, Trump had made his fire and fury comment. Things were very tense for a while. And then, you know, the U.S. had continued its practices with the South Korean military, but basically things had seemed to calm. And, you know, poor Rex Tillerson, who keeps, you know, managing to step on rakes, it seems, praised the North Koreans for not doing anything provocative. And maybe that's what did it. Maybe they were like, oh, wait a minute, we're losing our edge. We need to be provocative again or something. But firing over Japanese airspace and Japanese territory is a – they've done it before, but it's been a very long time since they've done this. And it just seems like – when you look back in their previous provocations, they're, you know, striking a South Korean Navy ship, shelling of a North Korean island community. North Korea's idea of an acceptable non-war starting provocation appears to be different from that of the rest of the world. So Thankfully, this one, it landed in the Pacific Ocean. We're only seeing angry words from Japan. Things can calm down from here. But if you have one side of a conflict that just seems addicted to periodically poking the other side with a stick, we should not be the least bit surprised if things escalate into an actual conflict. It's a long way from that. But North Korea needs to let things calm down. They seem determined to not let that occur.
National security is very, very complicated. Fortunately, home security does not need to be that complicated. A lot of us get excited for summer because it means going on vacation, and those vacation days are dwindling. In fact, a lot of kids are already back to school, but maybe it's not till after Labor Day, so you're on your final vacation now. And during that time, you're spending long days at the beach, maybe taking the kids to an amusement park. Whatever it is that your family enjoys doing, a lot of times it means not being at home. And that's what gets burglars excited for summer, knowing that you're going to be doing all those things away from the house and that you leave it empty. Summer is prime time for burglary, so now is the time to protect your home. And for a limited time, you can take a whopping $100 off SimpliSafe's special summer package.
This is SimpliSafe's biggest ever sale. It has everything you need to protect your home with an arsenal of security sensors to secure each door and window. Your SimpliSafe system comes with a panic button, a blaring extra siren, and a wireless connection to authorities and police dispatch. Your family, your home, and everything in it will stay safe around the clock. With SimpliSafe, there are no long-term contracts, no installation costs, and no hidden fees. And 24/7 professional monitoring is just $14.99 a month.
This summer, see what SimpliSafe can do for your home. Get $100 off your summer security package at simplisafe.com/ricochet. But you have to hurry because this offer does end soon. simplisafe.com/ricochet to get your $100 off. SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. That's simplisafe.com/ricochet for $100 off your purchase. So, Jim, we saw a little bit last week before Harvey even hit the Texas Gulf Coast about how the response was going to be lacking and that it was President Trump's fault. Fortunately, we haven't seen as much of that since the devastation actually hit. But what we have seen in a number of different places is chalking this up to the effects of man-made climate change. And the folks over at Grabian put together a montage, and we plucked out a few of these different clips that they were able to assemble here. First of all, some liberal commentators talking about how they're so sure, or at least they think we need to investigate further how climate change is involved here. And then some actual exchanges between liberal members of the media and people who actually know what they're talking about. First of all, there's Jeffrey Toobin, who, of course, is the chief legal analyst over at CNN.
The Republican Party is united on that. And I think one question we should ask, even if the Republican Party isn't asking that, is what is the role of man-made climate change in disasters like this one? It doesn't necessarily create storms like this, but does it increase the intensity of these storms? You know, climate change is part of this story.
And so he's asking questions elsewhere on CNN. Ron Brownstein is a little more sure.
There is no doubt that climate change makes, particularly because of warming the ocean waters and the Gulf waters, makes storms like this more common.
Then on CBS This Morning, Dana Jacobson talking with the famous scientist Michio Kaku.
Watch out. There could be more monster hurricanes to come.
And that's the theory that climate change is impacting all of this.
Well, we're not sure.
Oh, we're not sure. But over on CNN, one person is sure, not the scientist, but John Berman has a big lead up here about how climate change is impacting the intensity and the amount of moisture in the storm. But the former head of the National Hurricane Center, Bill Reed, kind of puts the brakes on that.
Is there a why to this? Why there is so much water associated with this storm? One of the things we've heard from scientists over the last 10 years is that climate change does impact the intensity of many of the storms that we see.
I probably wouldn't attribute what we're looking at here. This is not an uncommon occurrence.
So, Jim, just the fact that this discussion is happening while so many lives are still at stake ought to turn the stomachs of many people. But as we've just heard from the experts and many other people who could weigh in on this, this is not an obvious cut and dry climate change impact here. The fact that the storm basically stalled on the Texas coast, not sure that has a lot to do with man-made causes or a lot of other aspects here.
Greg, I understand the theory, right? They could say, oh, look, when the characterization of climate change as global warming is incorrect. It's not just, you know, the temperature is going to rise. You put more carbon in the atmosphere, that makes the clouds heavier, that makes the storms more powerful and stronger, and thus it means you're going to get more superstorms. And the theory, you can follow the logic of it all, but the problem is the last major hurricane to cross the U.S. coastline was Hurricane Wilma back in 2005. That is, you know, the Washington Post helpfully calculates that is 4,323 days ago. The longest stretch of time that the U.S. coast has not experienced a major hurricane landfall. Now, you did have Superstorm Sandy. It had stopped. It had broken up. It was no longer a hurricane by that point. You had some Category 1s, Category 2s, but they didn't meet the criteria of a major hurricane. You can go back and you can find, like, it's not like we turned off all our factories for a year or two in there, right? You'd assume that, oh, we're experiencing climate change, and it would continue on a at least somewhat regular pattern. It doesn't really make it explain, oh, carbon emissions are really, really high, but we've actually had the quietest hurricane season back in, you know, I think it was 2013 was one. We've had a couple of years where we really haven't had a major hurricane on the U.S. coast. So, you know, thank goodness. Now, look, are there hurricanes? Yes, there have always been hurricanes coming in the Caribbean. Sometimes they end up going south and hit, you know, the Caribbean or Mexico or Central America. Sometimes they come up to the coast and hit the United States. But of course, you can go back and you can find the Galveston one that wiped out, I believe it killed 10,000 people, right? So the idea that, you know, there's this very simplistic narrative of, oh, climate change is increasing the carbon in the atmosphere. This is going to lead to more and bigger hurricanes. That simply isn't proven out by the numbers. Some years we have a lot, some years we have none. It's not such a simple equation. The second thing, Greg, you'll often hear is, well, hurricanes are getting more destructive. The cost of damage from these hurricanes is increasing dramatically each year. Greg, can you figure out any other factor that might be affecting the cost of the damage of a hurricane from a year to year and decade to decade?
Prices going up?
You got it. Real estate prices. And, of course, coastal development. Now, there's an argument to be made that, you know what, if you're in a Florida, if you're in the Gulf Coast, if you're on the Carolinas, you know, there is always a chance that you're going to get hit by a hurricane. So you obviously want to build your structures as strong as possible. But look, these have always been big tourist destinations. Americans love their beaches. And for obvious reason, people like building big hotels, big beach houses, big resorts. It's natural for Americans to want to develop the coast. Well, that means when a hurricane comes in, there's going to be more structures there to destroy. They're going to be bigger and they're going to be more expensive. Because I don't know if people notice, real estate has gone up in this country, particularly on a decade-to-decade basis. So yes, of course, no wonder these storms are doing more expensive damage than they did in 1980 or 1990. There's more stuff there. There's more expensive buildings there to get damaged. So some of this stuff, there's a little bit of fudging of the numbers you see there. In and of itself, look, we can have the climate change debate when we're not pulling people out of water in Texas at times like this. It feels a little unseemly to see people so quick and eager to score points for their perspective on this. Let's focus on the rescues. Let's focus on helping people. Let's focus on getting people back to some semblance of normal and back to their lives. And then we can have these debates instead of be trying to, you know, score points and dance as people are suffering.
Wow. Jim, it's been an intense few weeks here, and you are headed off now on the National Review cruise, which will last a number of days. I don't know. Do you lead the conga line night to night, or how does that work?
No, look, we're leaving from Southampton, and nothing bad ever happens to ships that leave from Southampton, right? Near, far, wherever you are. Anyway, if the boat sinks, that's the last thing anyone gets to hear of me. So, yeah, kind of a bad closing note. Talk about an off-key note to close on. Anyway, best to everyone. See you in about a week and a half, right?
September 11th, actually. So 2 weeks from yesterday. But as we mentioned before, Alexander DeSanctis will be filling in for Jim for the rest of this week. So there will be 3 martini lunches through Friday. And then, as we mentioned earlier, we will be off next week, the week of Labor Day. So, Jim, seriously, be safe, have fun, enjoy all the folks on the National Review cruise, and we'll reconvene soon.
All right. See you in a little bit, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us today. And please don't forget to visit our good friends over at Simply Safe Home Security. Get that $100 off your brand new home security system, simplysafe.com/ricochet. And tune in again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.